Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Coach Cafe on Blog Talk Radio, the self-empowerment place to meet where you get your weekly cup of inspiration. On Tuesday, January 13th, I had a little brain freeze there for a second. And here in the Coach Cafe, we interview top self-empowerment coaches, authors, and experts to share their inspiration and wisdom to assist us all to live our best lives. I am your co-host, Certified Life Coach Kathleen Martin, known as your Balanced Life Coach, coming to you live from the beautiful Hamptons, New York, along with my co-host.
I'm Estra Rowell, also Certified Law of Attraction Life Coach, known as America's Life Purpose Coach, coming to you live from Charlottesville, Virginia.
And we are on the air every Tuesday and Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And welcome our listeners to join in on the conversation. Oh, excuse me. I have to back up a bit. I am going to give out the phone number, which is 646-649-1015. But today we are a pre-recorded show with our wonderful guest, Dr. Larry Birkelhammer. He could not join us live, so we have pre-recorded it, though Esther and I will be coming in at the end. And if you would love to share any of your thoughts, anything that came up for you, and we're happy to answer any questions that may have any relevance, you are welcome to join us. So that is at 646-649-1015. And you can also post your questions and comments in our chat room. And we would also like to give a special thank you to our listeners who have chosen to follow us. And if you like what you hear and would also like to follow us, you can simply click the follow button located under our picture at the show, at the top of the show page. And please do visit our website at coachcaferadio.com, where you can find out more about us and who is coming up. We have wonderful guests joining us every week now, twice a week. And you can also visit our guest gallery. In case you haven't been able to join us live, you can always listen to our archive shows. And while you're there, definitely be sure to pick up your self-empowerment gifts. We put together a nice gift pack for you just by leaving your name and email, and we will also send you some occasional updates. So today we are thrilled that we did have the opportunity to pre-record our show with Dr. Larry Birkelhammer, Ph.D., who is the author of In Your Own Hands, New Hope for People with Chronic Medical Conditions. And you're going to want to stick around and listen to this hour-long interview because he shared some really powerful techniques and tools and things to think about if you happen to be someone who has a chronic medical condition or perhaps know someone, and I certainly do, and I'm sure there's someone you can share this with because he really did share some amazing wisdom during this hour. And didn't you think so, Esther? I mean, I think that this particular book is a book to get into everybody's hands.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, he is... He's sharing mindfulness techniques as well as how to navigate, you know, with your medical doctor as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of wonderful information to share. You know, we could have gone on and on. And his website is chock full of information as well, and he's got links to where you can go to places where you know that they're going to be reputable. You know, just so many things that he shared. So definitely stay tuned for this interview because it was really fascinating.
It was really, really wonderful. And his book is definitely, the way he has formatted this book And as you will hear from my introduction, he did go through, he's a man who went through quite a challenge, so he knows from whence he speaks, and he's sharing his own personal story there. So let me introduce Dr. Larry Birkelhammer so that you can know who he is, and I'm going to begin the recording. It lasts approximately an hour, so, you know, stick with us. Dr. Larry Birkelhammer has lived with several chronic medical conditions since childhood. For decades, he endured the frustration of not knowing the causes of his physical problems. He was then diagnosed with two autoimmune diseases and a primary immunodeficiency disease. He was told that there were no known cures for them and that treatment for some would make others worse. A longtime mindfulness practitioner faced with this reality, Dr. Birkelhammer became curious about what practical steps he and others could do to improve health and well-being. He trained with several world leaders in psycho-oncology, psychophysiology, and psychoneuroimmunology. Dr. Birkelhammer has now combined his research and practices into a book to help others with similar conditions. In Your Own Hands, New Hope for People with Chronic Medical Conditions serves as a guide to help those living with chronic illness, as well as their caregivers, learn to live with conscious intention to maximize health and well-being. In Your Own Hands chronicles Dr. Birkelhammer's personal experiences with his past work as a practicing psychotherapist to give those struggling with chronic illness practical steps to take their health into their own hands using the techniques of mindfulness and mastery. And you can learn more about Dr. Larry Birkelhammer at www.larryberkelhammer.com. And we also post this at coachcaferadio.com. So I'm going to start the show. So sit back, relax in the cafe, and we will meet you on the other side. Enjoy.
Well, welcome into the Coach Cafe, Dr. Larry.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. Because I'll tell you, your book is a really necessary book, in my opinion. And I've been in health and wellness for my life as well after a very serious illness. And I really think that what you're doing here is a necessary... I think that everyone... who is in that situation with a chronic medical condition is going to really be benefited by what they're going to hear today. So let our listeners hear about your story. You've got quite a journey that has gone on here. So let everyone know how this came about that you wrote this book.
Sure. Well, I was diagnosed with several chronic illnesses. And what happened was, you know, I always assumed that medicine is more advanced than it is. That's what I think most people think until they actually end up getting diagnosed. And then mm-hmm. they find out that, no, actually modern medicine is just in its infancy. And there are very few cures out there for anything. Mm-hmm. If we have a bacterial infection, then there are antibiotics, although even there now there are all these antibiotic-resistant organisms. And there are vaccines against some diseases, but there are very few cures. And so I was diagnosed with a primary immunodeficiency and was immediately told there's no cure. And although there is a treatment, because I was also diagnosed with another disease, a platelet aggregation defect, the treatment for, oh, and also very severe osteoporosis, which was secondary to a severe malabsorption syndrome. Because of that, I couldn't get the treatment for the immunodeficiency. Mm. So I began to feel like, wow, this is really scary because here I've gone to one of the top medical centers in the country and there's nothing they can do. So I began to wonder, well, what else is there? What can I do? And most people at that point tend to look to alternative medicine, mm-hmm. but I'm very much informed by science, and So I looked for the evidence there, and there wasn't any. So then the next step was, okay, there must be something I can do. And so I started researching. I went to Google Scholar and started really researching in what can people do using the mind to improve their health. And there I actually found quite a bit of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my book is basically about. So there are certain things I learned that are more important than the most important things. The thing I put at the top of the list is social connections. There are now literally hundreds of studies, epidemiological studies, where they've controlled for all types of confounding variables, and they found that people who have good social connections, they're part of a community where they feel like they belong in the community and they're a contributing member of the community, or who have very strong family ties, close family connections, or just close friends, friends they can really count on, not Facebook friends, but real friends, with people they can get together with, call for help in times of need, or and have it be mutual, so those friends call you as well. That's
mm-hmm.
at the top of the list. People who have that generally are healthier than people who don't have that.
So true, yes. I agree. I think that it's one of those aspects of healing that isn't emphasized enough.
And I think we all kind of know we feel better when we're with people who we care about and with whom we feel very comfortable. But I was impressed when I saw all the studies, really well-designed
mm-hmm.
studies, proving this, where they controlled for all the variables. And in these studies, in controlling for the variables, they came up with a lot of other things, too. And one of them was meaning and purpose. People who wake up in the morning have nothing to look forward to, are not involved in any particular thing that gives them meaning, do not do as well as people who wake up every morning excited to get on with the day because they have something they're doing, especially if it's something that contributes to making life better for other people. Those people are healthier. People who
mm-hmm.
do volunteer work, too, that's another thing. It's connected to meaning and purpose, and I think people who do volunteer work, that gives them meaning and purpose. So those two things are separate but very connected, meaning and purpose and serving others. And so people who have that as part of their life on a regular basis tend to not get sick as much. They tend to be healthier. They tend to recover faster. They're less prone to developing chronic illnesses in middle age and later, or when they do develop chronic illness, it's in old age rather than middle age.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
those are probably the three biggest things, but there are others. One of them is self-acceptance, and that's a tough nut to crack because so many of us came from childhoods where we were either physically abused or emotionally abused, or some people were traumatized by sexual abuse, violence. But even in my family, it was just verbal abuse. But being constantly put down, I developed very low self-esteem. And so throughout my life, it's been a struggle to fight to cultivate self-acceptance. And people in these studies, they have found that people who really highly value themselves, who really love themselves, have self-love and self-acceptance, self-caring, those people are healthier. Again,
mm-hmm.
they tend to develop chronic disease much later in life, whereas people who have low self-esteem, people who have poor self-acceptance, tend to develop chronic diseases in middle age and even younger. So those are some of the biggest things.
Yeah, and that's not something we're really taught. As you say, some people come from abusive backgrounds, And then, you know, others may not have had, you know, a terribly bad time in childhood, but we're also taught, oh, it's vain to think about yourself. It's vain to care about yourself. It's you know, better to give than receive. It's, but you know, all the things, you know, it's you need to put others first. And this isn't to say, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be compassionate and care about other people, but it's interesting that, you know, our society tends to train us away from that self-acceptance and that self-love. And you're finding through your research that this is one of the things that is at the very heart of of disease. Yeah.
And one of the really ironies of this is that people who serve others have higher self-esteem, higher self-acceptance. So if we want to improve our level of self-acceptance, one of the best ways to do it is actually to serve others. And interestingly, though, I've been doing this in some way all my life, in my 20s, 30s, and into my 40s. I ran two very successful businesses, employed a lot of people, paid my people better than they could make working for my competitors. So I was serving people by paying my employees better, providing them with better working conditions than they would get from my competitors. My businesses were providing a worthwhile product and service, and yet I didn't feel, I still had very low self-acceptance because I didn't really realize that I was actually serving others. And then in my 40s, went back to school, became a psychologist, went into mind-body medicine. I'm now 67 and retired, but for 19 years I worked in the field of mind-body medicine, helping people with chronic medical conditions learn how to feel better about themselves, and in learning to feel better about themselves, their health actually improved. And yet, even through all of that, it's been a long, long journey improving my level of self-acceptance. And I've been in psychotherapy as a client, and I've done numerous workshops, you know, as a participant, workshops to gain some self-acceptance. And interestingly, I just find that there's no simple quick fix. There are a lot of self-help books out there on the market that offer quick fixes, and the research just doesn't bear out that there's any value in that. Unfortunately, it's a long, slow process, fighting tooth and nail. There's just no easy way to develop self-acceptance. And I sometimes get annoyed when I see these self-help books that, or these TV shows that promise, just do these 10 things and you'll have everything in the world that you've ever wanted. The research doesn't bear out that there's any validity to that.
Yes, I think that it's, you know, we do have to acknowledge the fact that this is a lifelong journey, and it's not going to be an instantaneous, you know, yes, there are people who have the spontaneous remissions, and that's wonderful, and it's true. And what I love about what you've done, Dr. Lowry, is that in your book, you went through it, you were walking, you know, that path, and it's very, you know, you really have to reach in there and gain all of your strength to be able to keep going and keep going. And I love, you know, we talked about a story in here, I just want to relate it, because I think it's very interesting to our listeners, as you got into the mindfulness aspect of your healing, and how you were watching I think it was a karate tournament, you were not feeling well, and you were watching a karate tournament, and you got so involved, your mind was so taken into the experience that it's like, this is, to me, it's one of the ways that we can experience this our own, or when you hear a story like that, how when your mind is engaged in something so deeply, the other thing that you were so involved with perhaps your illness, of course, you know, it just doesn't, it's not present anymore.
Yes.
So
well, this,
that's what I find is so interesting with the mindfulness aspect of healing. I'd like to go into that.
That piece isn't really mindfulness. Mindfulness would be tuning into our breathing sensations, tuning into our thoughts. What I used that night, you're referring to, there was one night in January 1991, I'll tell the whole story, where I was home at night and started to feel chills, fever, extreme muscle aches, extreme body fatigue. It was the peak of the flu season. Now, since that year, I've gotten my flu shot every year. But that year, I probably hadn't gotten it. And I, it's the peak of the flu season. I knew, okay, I got the flu. But the interesting thing is, before I finish the story, I just want to say, the most interesting thing about this is when we get sick, what's the first thing we do? We usually focus on our symptoms. We focus on, I can't be sick. I don't want to be sick. And we keep thinking about how, but I am sick. And we're focused on our symptoms. The reality is, when we focus on feeling well, then that seems to be a boost to the immune system. And the immune system can then fight off the virus or the bacterium or the fungus or whatever it is. And we're more likely to recover. But what happens is usually when we get sick or we get injured, we're so focused on what we don't want that we end up having more of the very thing we don't want. If we focus on what we want, then we're more likely to have that. So that night in San Diego, I was at that time living in San Diego, and I just happened to turn on the TV. When I was much younger, I'd been in the martial arts, and there was a karate tournament on, and I started watching it, and I got so into it. I felt like I was fighting that night. I was in my mind, I was one of those guys in the tournament, and I got so energized that I completely forgot that I was sick. I totally forgot. I was, in my mind, I was this karate fighter at the top of my game, feeling phenomenally well. And I started watching at 8 o'clock. It ended at 10. And when it ended at 10 o'clock, I suddenly realized I'm all better. All my symptoms had gone. Now, unfortunately, that was in January of 1991. It's now 2015. And I have tried to replicate that numerous times. And I've never been able to do it. Not
once.
Goodness. And I know why. The problem is trying isn't good enough. And this is frustrating. It's frustrating because, like, okay, trying isn't good enough. Well, then how do I really do it? Forget about trying. I'm going to just do it. Well, that's – anyone who's figured that out, please give me an answer. Because that just – I haven't figured it out yet. But there are a lot of people.
Sure. Yeah.
There are a lot of people who've had this experience in other ways. For example, in my book I talk about spontaneous remissions where there are people who've gone to Lourdes in France and experienced spontaneous recoveries from cancer, deadly cancers. There are people who've gone to John of God in Brazil and experienced remarkable remissions from metastatic cancer and other diseases. There are people who have gone to all these weird things and experienced spontaneous recoveries. Now, you have to know, though, the Catholic Church, regarding Lourdes in France, the Church keeps very good records. And of the tens of thousands of people who've claimed to have had spontaneous remissions, when the Church has looked at the records and really looked at the variables, they've found that it has actually happened for some people, but a very tiny percentage. It is real. Some people have gone there and experienced real spontaneous remissions, but for most of the people, there's some other variable that they can't account for. But still, you could ask, okay, what about those people, whether it's Lourdes or John of God in Brazil or Filipino psychic healing or any number of weird things? You know, you have to ask, well, what about those people who really did get spontaneous remissions, and you cannot account for it in any other way? And the way I explain it is, we do know that what happened to me in San Diego, I think, is the same thing. If you can somehow believe, totally believe, I mean, not think or hope, but totally be convinced, have deep belief that you are, in fact, healed, that you are, in fact, well, you're more likely to get better. People have been healed by faith healers. Now, faith healers have been looked at, and there's absolutely no scientific explanation for why faith healing works. And, in fact, it doesn't work most of the time. Most of the people who go to faith healers really don't get well, but there are a few who do. And even when you explore all the variables, there's no way to explain why some people who've gone to faith healer have been completely cured. And I think it's the same thing again. It's not the faith healer who's curing people. Mm-hmm. It's the person who goes to the faith healer who believes with deep faith that the faith healer has the power. If the person going to the faith healer has deep enough faith in the faith healer, in the faith healer's ability to cure them, then they sometimes, in rare instances, but it does happen, will actually get cured. But again, I want to emphasize, it's not the faith healer who's curing them. It's the patient's deep faith in the faith healer's abilities that cures them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So essentially, they're curing themselves because of
they're curing themselves, yes. That's exactly it. We all have the ability to cure ourselves from just about any disease out there. The problem is, the challenge is, how do we make it happen? Mm-hmm. And I haven't been able to do it except for that one time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, we can definitely... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Esther.
No, go ahead. Well, no, I was going to ask, where do... medications come into this in terms of believing, say, in a certain medical treatment?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because the pharmaceutical industry knows all about the power of the mind. That's why they make certain, for example, they know that certain color pills work better than other color pills. They also know that capsules work better than tablets. And they also know that injections work better than capsules. So the thing is, they've done studies in medical schools on medical students where they gave them certain medications, and in reality, usually it was all placebo, because there are internal review boards, and they can't actually give them real medications unless they're sick. But they gave them placebos, and the people who got the yellow pill didn't do as well as, depending on what the disease they were told they had. It's the bottom line: the color of the tablet matters. Tablet versus capsule matters. IM injection versus IV injection matters. Who's delivering the drug? So if a med tech delivers the drug, it doesn't have as strong an effect as if an RN delivers it. And when an RN administers the drug, it doesn't have as strong an effect as when an MD delivers it. Now, the med tech might do just as good a job as delivering it than a doctor. In fact, an RN is more likely to do a better job, because RNs are better at giving, more experienced at giving injections than doctors are. And yet the patients somehow get a more profound effect when the doctor administers it. This is all in their mind. It's the power of the mind. And so the drug companies know all this. And in fact, they also know that they can charge more and people will get a stronger effect because people believe it's a more powerful drug. It's a very bizarre thing. The fact is, one of the most famous physicians in modern medicine, I'm trying to think of his name, once said in the early 20th century, he said, if all the medications made by pharma were thrown into the ocean, it would be all the better for mankind and all the worse for the fishes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are drugs out there that really do work. There are drugs that really cure people of diseases, that make symptoms go away. There's no question. But a lot of the benefit from pharmaceuticals is placebo. A huge benefit is placebo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting that you mentioned the color. But, you know, I can think of an ad on TV about the little purple pill. And, and now I'm realizing, oh, they're emphasizing the purple because apparently that's a color that people like.
Well, they like certain colors for certain diseases.
Oh, okay.
And the pharmaceutical industry knows this.
Oh,
and in fact, those colors actually are more effective for certain diseases, and other colors are more effective for the other diseases. But it's all in the mind.
Yes, this is a mind-based experience, that's for sure. But one of the things that we really emphasize in the Coach Cafe is self-empowerment. And I like what you said in your book, where you said people who live with mastery and well-being would describe their lifestyles as something they intentionally created and that it's in their hands, because you do go into some really wonderful, you know, toward mastery and well-being in your chapter, where you go into the, you know, to really getting into becoming the master, right, and where you're going to then be in charge of your own well-being. And some of the practices now that you incorporate into your own life and help others to incorporate, where it is much more of that, I feel that any healing, and it's meant to be holistic on all levels, when you're helped to gain control back, where you feel that you have the power in your hands, you're far and away more likely to heal faster and for the long term, right?
Absolutely.
So can you share with us some of those practices that you recommend in your book?
Yes. So one of the ones I put at the top of the list of a daily practice is mindfulness, because mindfulness, and I'll just say what mindfulness is. Mindfulness is very simple. It just, all it is paying attention from moment to moment, intentionally paying attention to whatever we're doing. That's it. Now, a simple way to practice it, which it has been a practice now for 2,600 years, is just sitting comfortably, either on a meditation bench or a cushion or in a chair, but sitting upright in an alert position and tuning in to the physical sensations of breathing. In the beginning, most people, if they haven't done it before, they feel the breath going in and out of their nostrils. They might feel their chest expanding and contracting. One of the things that's very healthy is diaphragmatic breathing. So when I'm meditating, I'm paying attention to my lower abdomen expanding and contracting. I can even feel my low back expanding and contracting with every breath. So the mindfulness practice involves nothing more than sitting for 5 minutes, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever works for you, and just tuning in to the physical sensations of breathing over and over for all the breaths. Now, while you're doing that, the mind is going to wander. It just does that. We all, you know, I've heard people have actually told me, oh, my mind doesn't wander. I think what's going on there is they don't even have enough awareness to be aware that their mind is wandering. The mind wanders. That's just what our minds do. It's part of being human. And so when we're sitting there paying attention to the physical sensations of breathing, one of the things we want to do is notice that our mind was just wandering and we've just come back, and to be very gentle with ourselves, not beat ourselves up for allowing ourselves to wander, but noticing, oh, my mind was just wandering and now I'm back. And to just keep coming back, that's all there is keep coming back to paying attention to the physical sensations of breathing and noticing, oh, my mind was just wandering and now I'm back. And noticing if when you notice that you're thinking about something else, to tell yourself, okay, I can do this later, I can think about this later, but right now this is time for me, and I'm going to give myself this time to just meditate, and I will think about that thing, that plan that thing later when I'm done meditating. But right now, this is my time to just pay attention to feeling my breath going in and out. So that's the first practice I recommend.
Mm-hmm.
That's the practice that allows us to be fully present throughout the day. And the thing about mindfulness is you don't want to be just doing it for 10 minutes or half hour, 40 minutes a day. You want to be doing it throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people ask me, well, they say, oh, I can't meditate because my mind wanders. And I say, well, of course your mind wanders. Mm-hmm. I've been meditating for 40 years, and my mind still wanders. And but the idea is to notice that it was just wandering and bring it back. And mm-hmm. so you can do that. So like when I'm doing the dishes, when I'm cleaning house, when I'm driving, even in conversations with people, when I notice that I'm not paying attention to whatever is going on in the moment, I just bring my attention back to whatever is going on in the moment, whatever it is. So that's the practice of mindfulness. It's really quite simple and yet quite challenging to do it. But mm-hmm. it's not like we can't do it. Everyone can do it. And it's just a matter of doing it. And when we notice our mind is, you know, if you're driving down the road and you suddenly notice you don't remember the last 5 minutes of driving, well, that's normal. That's perfectly normal. And instead of beating ourselves up over it, you just notice, okay, I'm here now. Now I'm going to practice paying attention to driving for as long as I can. And then maybe after a couple of minutes, my mind is wandering again, no problem. But at some point, I'm going to notice that, oh, I've come back again. And whenever I come back, I want to be very gentle with myself and just say, okay, I'm back. And I'm going to see how long I can be present right now. So whatever the activity is, to just practice being present through every activity in the day. So that's by far and away the biggest thing. But one of the other things that I also recommend, and in my book, I think it's an appendix. Let me just grab my book here. I can't remember if it's an appendix or a chapter, but well, actually, let me look it up in my table of contents here. Okay, chapter 23 in my book is called Medical Self-Efficacy. And so I talk a lot about how to be an empowered, you asked about being an empowered patient. So part of empowerment is mindfulness. But if you live with chronic illness, part of empowerment is becoming an empowered patient. So mm-hmm. for example, when I go to medical appointments, so let's say I the day before I have an invasive medical appointment, an invasive procedure, the day before I find myself thinking, oh, tomorrow I have to go in for this thing. I hate it. So I become, through mindfulness, I tune into my thinking, and I become aware that, oh, I'm engaging in some unhealthy thinking. I've been telling myself I have to go to this thing. When I tell myself I have to go, that's disempowering.
Right.
So I remind myself, no, I'm the one who followed through with my doctor's recommendation. I'm the one who followed through and made the phone call to make the appointment. I did that because I want to be an empowered patient. I want to take care of myself. So then the day of the appointment arrives. And again, I find myself thinking, oh, I have to go. And again, I turn my thinking around to no. I'm choosing to go because I want to be an empowered patient. I made this appointment. I'm choosing to go to this appointment because I value my health and I value taking charge of my life. So then, there I am in the appointment. And whatever the procedure is, I remind myself that this is uncomfortable. It's unpleasant. That's true. But I'm choosing to do it, and I can certainly survive this procedure, and I'm getting the procedure done because it's recommended by my doctor. It's the best thing for me. It will improve my health, and so I go through with it. And if it's an office appointment, I go into the office appointment fully prepared with I recommend to people bring your iPhone or your Android, your mobile device in, and ask your doctor, is it okay if I record this? And once in a while, doctors say no. And what I tell people is, if your doctor isn't okay with you recording it, then you might want to find another doctor. I record all my office appointments. I shouldn't say all. Some of them are very simple. But if it's going to be something where we're going to be talking about stuff that's complicated, I say, is it okay if I record it? So I record it. But while it's recording, I open it to Notepad or Notes, whether you have an Android or an iPhone. It's called Notepad or Notes. And so I have that open, and on the notes I have all of my questions that I've been noting, typing in there for the past months leading up to the appointment. So while I'm referring to my notes of my questions and asking my questions, the doctor is then answering the questions, and it's all getting recorded because I've started the recording. And that way, then when I get home, I transcribe the recording into a Word document that I keep about this particular diagnosis and this particular specialist. And that way, I'm a really empowered patient because I've got all the detailed information. And I found before I started doing this, I couldn't remember and I couldn't take notes fast enough.
Right.
Maybe a stenographer could, but most of us aren't. And I used to forget things. And I would end up calling the doctor asking the same question over and over. And it wasn't, the doctors don't appreciate that. It's not good for the patients. And so this is one of the things an empowered patient does.
Well, these are fabulous suggestions, Dr. Bogahammer, because I think that it's the first step to healing. When you have that sensation that you feel that you are in control, that you are taking actions that will lead to feeling more powerful and less powerless. And these are wonderful. I think that right now, what you've already shared in this show would put anybody in a better place if they're in a chronic medical condition. And listen, if you end up with one and you've already been practicing the breath every day, it'll automatically be there for you. And then I love this idea with recording it and taking notes, and then you're giving the mind what it needs, it feels to me, to feel that way that it needs to feel, rather than that incredible fear. I have a lot of compassion for people. I have family members going through it, and it's very difficult. The fear level is out of control, and just to give people a little less fear here, I think, is just brilliant. So we really appreciate that. And we are going to actually just take, before you, I'm sorry to interrupt you, we're going to take a little bit of a break and hold on to that thought, please, to reintroduce who we are. We are Coach Cafe Radio on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday and Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, where you get your weekly cup of inspiration. And boy, are you today, because we have with us Dr. Larry Birkelhammer, Ph.D., who is the author of In Your Own Hands, New Hope for People with Chronic Medical Conditions, Mindfulness-Based Practices for Mastery and Well-Being. So what we're sharing here today is, boy, is it timely, because we have a world who's not really feeling empowered when it comes to their health and wellness. So we really appreciate this. So Dr. Larry, let everybody know how they can find out more about you and get your book.
Well, my website is LarryBirkelhammer.com, and I also write for Psych Central, and it's P-S-Y-C-H Central, Psych Central. And but my website at www.LarryBirkelhammer.com has an unbelievable amount of data on it.
Yes, it does. It's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's there. The nice thing about my book, In Your Own Hands, is that all the studies are in there, and it's written, a lot of the information is on my website, but the thing is, the book is set up to go from one chapter to the next, and so it leads, you can read the first chapter, what leads into the second chapter, and so forth.
It's really nicely done. It's very easy to read, and you can really, going along and just sharing some of the aspects of your book where you really do help the person go through from part one to part two, then three and four. And every single section here is so value-packed with what anybody, just as a life practice, actually, but the fact that you're helping people with chronic illnesses, you know, every patient should, you know, get this into their hands, and it would be wonderful if doctors would just hand it out to their patients, I think.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I'm also going to be teaching a class starting in a couple of weeks. I mean, this is only for people who happen to be in my local area. I'm in Marin County, which is an area north of San Francisco. But for people in Marin, happen to be in this local area, Marin County, Sonoma County, West Contra Costa County, or San Francisco, they could register for my class at the College of Marin. And the title of the class is the same title as my book, In Your Own Hands. And
great.
I'm going to be teaching in the class all of those things that I write about in the book. I was saying earlier about, when you go to medical appointments, the best way to be empowered is to be prepared. And if you know going into every appointment that you are an empowered patient, that you know everything you need to know about your condition, and one of the best ways to do that is, I said, record your appointments and then take notes. And then I suggest reading up on everything you can learn about your particular conditions, learn about all the different treatments. And it's important to know where to go for that information, because most people, they go to the Internet. Well, that's where I go too, but you need to know where to go on the Internet, because if you just go to Google, you're going to come up with all the commercial sites where they're selling a product or they're selling a service, and or you're going to come up with all kinds of articles that are not based on science. So you need to know where to go. So where I go for my information is, first I might go to Google and find Wikipedia and read up on the condition on Wikipedia. And you can get a lot of information there, but it's very basic and very general. If you want to know much more, go to Google Scholar. Google Scholar is very reliable. Everything you come up with on Google Scholar will be reliable. Everything you come up with on PubMed will be reliable. Now, there are other sources, too, and I have a page on my website, and I can't remember the name of the page. I could open to it right now.
Resources?
Yes, resources, thank you. If you go to the resources page, which I'm doing right now, and then go to, well, there are a few things. So you go to my website, you go to resources along the top in the brown bar, second from the right is resources. And then if you go to medical resources, there are a lot of links there. Those are all resources that are for the general public. They're easy to understand, and you go to any of those resources, and they're all very reputable.
Fantastic.
That's a wonderful tip.
If you go back to resources, and you go to the page called Get Correctly Diagnosed, that's a list of top academic medical centers around the country in the U.S. They're not the only places, but it's a list of examples of top-notch places. So, for example, if you're in New England, you've got Mass General, Brigham and Women's, Beth Israel. Mm-hmm. If you're in the New York metropolitan area, you've got New York Presbyterian, Mount Sinai Medical Center, New York University Langone, and it goes on and on from there in different parts of the country. If you go back to the resources page, then there are many other things too. But I would say under the resources, the first one, medical resources, those are just wonderful links that bring you to reliable information. So there's so much information out there on the Internet. You just need to know where to go. So go to any of those sources and you'll do well.
Great. That was wonderful.
Are there certain questions that say you haven't been diagnosed yet and you have certain symptoms? Are there certain questions that you should be asking your doctor to help him explore a little bit more about your condition?
Absolutely. So first of all, if you have gone to a doctor and you haven't been helped, don't jump to alternative health care. That's the wrong thing to do. You just want to find the right doctor. And one of the things you want to do is go to one of the large academic medical centers, such as those listed in my resources, the second resource, the one called Get Correctly Diagnosed. Now, those aren't the only ones. For example, I'm going to that page right now. So you might be trying to think of an area that's not covered by this. So you might not be in an area that's covered by one of these. That's okay. There are plenty of others. As long as it's a large academic medical center, you will do fine. You will find specialists who are really at the top of their game. But even then, you might not be getting help from that doctor. And one of the things, if your doctor seems to be struggling, is you can ask a question, if your doctor is struggling to come up with the right diagnosis, you could ask this question. It's a very simple question. What else could it be? And, I mean, you might feel stupid asking, like I can't ask my doctor what else could it be. My doctor should know that. But you'd be surprised the number of times people ask a simple question like, what else could it be? It kind of jars their memory, and they start to think outside the box a little more. There are other questions you can ask, too, and I'm blanking on what they are. They're in my book. One of the problems
well,
that,
that's why people need to get the book.
Yeah,
that's right, exactly.
One of the problems with being 67, and I know it's only going to get worse, is you have trouble remembering all the things you have in your head. People ask, about something, and I say, well, when do you need to know? I might not be able to think of it in this moment, but
well, we're all not in the same position as you, Dr. Berkelheimer, where you're a scientist, and you're a medical in the medical field, and that's a lot of information. And one of the things that I like to see that's happening as well is that the science, these hospitals that are just the top-notch hospitals and the doctors with, you know, the minds that they have that's so focused on helping people heal, are integrating things now. So it's becoming very much integrative medicine. So that's a really helpful sign. So you can feel good about going in when it's something quite serious that you're going to be able to be helped on all levels. So, and with the help of people like you, preparing the mind to go in like you are with your book is just fantastic, because it's really something that's missing, I feel. Most people just go after they have serious symptoms. First of all, they're in fear right out of the gate, and then they're going to a doctor that they know, in some part of them is probably going to give them some news that they're not going to like. So there's more fear, and that's affecting the cells. And, you know, this is brilliant to prepare the patient before they go in using deep breaths and calming yourself down and being prepared with powerful questions. I think that this is really the way we're headed. And we really applaud you for what you've done with your book. And it's the time now for this.
You know, it's good for everyone. It's not just mm-hmm. good for the patients. Doctors love empowered patients.
Yes.
My doctors love me because I come into the appointments. First of all, I'm compliant. Whatever they tell me to do, I do it. Now, if I have some question about it, which I often do, I ask them about it. They want me to take some medicine. I say, well, I have some questions about this. And if they're not willing to answer my questions in full, then that's the wrong doctor. You need to find a different doctor.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, doctors love patients who ask questions. Doctors love patients who take charge of their lives, who take care of their care, who are doing everything to take care of themselves. It works. The insurance companies even like it. It's good for everyone. Our whole healthcare system would be much better off if patients would take charge of their healthcare. By the way,
I agree. Yeah,
I just looked in my book and I now see the questions. So, you know, one question you ask your doctor: if you have a doctor who is at one of the top academic medical centers and is still struggling to diagnose you. One question is, what else could it be? Another question is there anything that doesn't fit? And again, you might think, well, gee, I can't ask my doctor that.
Right.
But yeah, go ahead and ask it. Is there anything that doesn't fit? They won't get angry at you for asking that question. And there's another question you could ask. If you've asked those two and your doctor is still struggling, another question you could ask is it possible I have more than one problem? Most of the time, there is one diagnosis that explains all the symptoms. But that's not always the case. And sometimes doctors don't think that they don't even... They focus in on one diagnosis, and by asking, well, is it possible that there's more than one thing that explains what's going on with me? And, you know, that can get them to think outside the box. Now, if you have a doctor who's not open to you asking these questions, then again, you may be working with the wrong doctor. You want a doctor who's confident, but you also want a doctor with humility. You want a doctor who recognizes that he or she doesn't have all the answers.
Yes, and I would highly recommend that you do go to Dr. Berkerheimer's website, because he has a section, questions and answers. I'm looking through it myself, and it's fabulous. So you answer a lot of questions that I think anybody is going to benefit from. And this is really important. What you're sharing is to be able to feel that you are empowered you're in partnership with your doctor, and not to feel like you can, you know, that you have to hold back, that it's not your place to ask questions.
Well, it
right.
can be very intimidating. A lot of people get intimidated by doctors because they feel like they're not in control. And I think these kinds of questions and these kind of practices where, you know, you do record and you take the notes and as things occur to you, you know, you, yeah, we have this technology now where we can, or just jot it down on a piece of paper if you, you know, if you need to. But to go in prepared to have a conversation, I think it, you know, it helps the patient, I imagine, to, mm-hmm. to not feel as intimidated by even the doctor. And it's also kind of a clarifying process. As you say, if your doctor's not willing to let you record or to answer certain questions, then, you know, because you think, well, how do I know this is the doctor for me? And these are ways to kind of figure that out, too.
Right. And, you know, if you are feeling intimidated by the doctor or just too anxious to be able to even think clearly, that's even more, even the more reason to record the session.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, another thing you could do is bring a friend with you or a family member, and that person can take notes. But very often that person, especially if it's a family member, might also be too concerned or too anxious and not be thinking clearly. So by recording everything, then
mm-hmm.
you get every word down. And when you get home, you can, in your leisure, you can transcribe from that recording. You've got it all.
Right.
Fantastic. Great idea. And actually, it should be provided for now. In the, you know, but we do have our phones. It's wonderful that we can do it. But what a great idea. I think it should be protocol, actually.
Yeah, I used to do it even in the old days, which isn't that many years ago, you know, before cell phone, before the new cell phones. I used to bring little digital recorder in. And before that, I used to bring in an old-fashioned cassette recorder and record sessions.
Yeah, you were ahead of your time.
Yeah.
It's true. So let's see, as we're getting towards the end here, I'm looking through so many things we could be talking about where you just really have such a wisdom to share with.
Well, you know, I do have a question about pain. I know, you know, if you're in pain, it's very hard to be mindful of other things going on in your life. Do you have a practice for people who are experiencing chronic pain?
Yeah. So although I've closed my private practice, I used to work with chronic pain patients. They weren't the only people I worked with, but people would typically come in hobbled over in pain, and I'd ask them on a scale of 1 to 10, how's your pain? And they'd say, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 9 or a 10, which is pretty serious pain. And when they would leave at the end of the session, I'd ask the same question, and they'd say, well, you know, my pain hasn't gotten any better, but it's not bothering me anymore. And when they'd come into the appointment, they'd be hobbled over. And when they'd leave, they'd be standing up straight. And I could tell they were standing more freely, more relaxed, more comfortable in their bodies. And they'd say, well, the pain hasn't gone away at all, but it's just not bothering me as much. And what changed is that there's a difference between pain and suffering. And I've discovered personally, and I've discovered with other people, that pain, what really ruins our quality of life is not the pain. What really ruins, totally destroys our quality of life is the attributions that we attach to the pain. So, like, for example, my arthritis has been getting worse and worse in recent years. And when I find myself getting depressed, I realize my pain is not making me depressed. What's making me depressed is all the thoughts I have about the pain, thoughts
right.
such as, you know, I'm going to end up in a wheelchair. That makes me depressed, but that's not a reality. That's a belief. It's the belief that I, the thoughts in my head that make me depressed. I have thoughts like you know, my body is falling apart, and you know, I'm just going to go downhill. I'm going to spiral downhill, and I'm going to lose everything. I'm not going to be able to do any of the things I want anymore. And when I have those thoughts, I get depressed. But then, because of mindfulness, I wake up and I realize that is a thought. Mm-hmm. And that's not reality. It might be reality. It might be. In fact, at some point, if we live long enough, most of us do go downhill, and our quality of life continues to get worse and worse and worse, and it gets to a point where life isn't worth living anymore. That is actually, that's a reality, but that can be a reality very late in life. Mm. I'm 67, and I'm having these thoughts now. That's ruining my quality of life. My physical
right.
condition is not what's making me depressed. It's the thoughts about my physical condition that make me depressed. Now,
mm-hmm.
So mindfulness helps, but another very, very important piece helps, and that is having close social ties, because that, so my wife, my friends, they remind me that I'm not in that terribly debilitated place yet. And just being with them, I feel better. And focusing on meaning and what activities that give us meaning and purpose, I feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anytime I'm doing anything, whether it's being on a radio interview, writing my articles, teaching my class, I feel better because I'm helping other people be able to take charge of their lives. For other people, what might make them feel better is signing up for some type of volunteer work once a week, or just helping out a family member or a friend, or you know, for some people it's gardening, or it could be any number of things. But
mm-hmm.
For everyone, it's got to be, especially if you're living with chronic medical conditions, it's got to be taking charge of your medical condition and becoming an empowered patient. These are the things that make us feel better. These are the things that are antidotes to depression. Because
mm-hmm.
if you're living with chronic debilitating medical conditions, you're also living with depression. And if you're not, then, you know, maybe you're taking too much of some medication, which can level out the lows, but it also levels out the highs. You know, a lot of people are taking a lot of antidepressants that they don't need to be doing, or they're overdosing. They don't have major depressive disorder. They have mild depression, and they're on antidepressants. And they would be much happier if they just become an empowered patient. They'd be much happier if they just learn how to practice mindfulness. They'd be much happier if they learn to take risks and get involved in conversations with strangers and make new friends and get involved in community. Those are the ways to be happier. Those are the ways to be more a more empowered medical patient. Those are the ways to take charge of your life. And those are the ways to actually feel better and improve your actual medical condition.
Oh. Great.
And become, this is a manual for life. It really is. It's a,
yeah.
And become a happier being at all, you know. And I also look at it as a wonderful, whether or not you're in this with, you know, fortunately, if you are without any chronic pain, that if there's anyone in your life that is, please give them this book. It's really going to put the power back in their hands. I love the title of it, In Your Own Hands, because, boy, does that make a difference. And, you know, this life is precious, I feel, as though no matter what's going on, if we have skills, if we have practices that we use daily that keep us in this present time, knowing deeply how, you know, fortunate we truly are, and we do focus on the things that are going right, even when you're in pain, like you explained. I mean, that's such an important aspect. It's, you know, yes, there's pain, but there doesn't have to be that extreme suffering. And boy, if you can relieve anybody of that, Dr. Larry, then you've done a great thing in your life. So, and that's happening to you every day. I know it. So it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well,
so
we really appreciate these what you're mentioning here. I just think it's absolutely life-changing.
Well, thanks for having me, because this is what gives my life meaning and purpose, the ability to share my information with other people and to help hopefully motivate them to become empowered medical patients and take charge of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you
absolutely.
So much. You've left us with wonderful information. And tell us once again, before you pop off here, where can people get your book? And I see that they can actually also follow you on Facebook and Twitter.
The best, I mean, you can buy it in any bookstore. Or if the bookstore doesn't have it in stock, you can order it. But I have to say, the if you want the best price, Amazon and Barnes & Noble online discount the book. So, you know, I don't care whether if you're able to get it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble online at a discounted price, that's wonderful.
Great.
But if you want to patronize your local bookstore, that's great too. And you probably would pay more. They may not stock it, but they can order it for you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Okay, you too.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well.
Yeah.
What? I know. What a powerful show, Estra. I mean, wow.
Yes. You know, being an empowered patient, I think, is,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're dealing with, you know, a chronic illness like that, you know, to live with something like that, you really, really want to be able to feel in control of your course of treatment and your life. And so he gives, I love the fact that he, you know, gives tips both with, you know, how to stay mindful and to work with the inner work, you know, and soothing yourself with energetically, as well as, okay, look, here's the questions you ask your doctor, and here's how you determine, you know, if this is the right person for you. So he really covers everything on all levels, because he's had to walk the walk. You know, he's dealt with this for years and years. So
exactly.
He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and learning from a man like Dr. Birkelhammer, I mean, clearly he is a science mind. He's
mm-hmm.
been in the field for a long time. This isn't a lay person to give this advice. It's a doctor mind that has produced quite a manual with this book. And we just love in the Coach Cafe that, you know, we are about self-empowerment. This is the self-empowerment in relationship to health and wellness. And, you know, I have a lot of compassion for anyone in the situation where they are in a chronic medical condition, because it's very fearful there. And right away then, your body is being affected by the amount of fear. And if you can alleviate any of that fear by having the sensation in your body of feeling more in control, I feel is a very important thing. That, you know, when you go to the doctor, you feel more in control. When you come home, you feel more in control. And you are doing the things that he has suggested on a daily basis. You're bound to heal faster. Excuse me. So
absolutely.
It's all
yeah.
part of the healing. It's great.
Yes. and not only heal faster, but, you know, feel better. I like the answer he gave about dealing with pain, that, you know,
mm-hmm.
the pain might be there, but there's a difference between the pain and the suffering.
Yes.
And so that was a distinction that I really hadn't thought about before.
Same thing for me too, Esther. I thought that was brilliantly put, and anyone hearing it, I hope they had that little aha like I did and you did, where, oh, you know, it's kind of like the, I'm pretty sure that one of the most enlightened beings that we are familiar with, I believe it was Buddha, said something like, pain, if struggling is a choice, right? It's like the exact quote, but it is along those lines. It's like you may be in pain, but the struggle is a choice kind of thing. Or, but this physical body being in pain, and I have loved ones who have gone through it in an extreme way. I mean, very extreme. And it is the mind-body connection that goes on here, where the other thing that goes on, the emotional body that gets activated at the same time. And you, I feel as though people like Dr. Larry and other doctors I have in my family as well, the compassion there for that experience that any human being would be going through and wanting to help them, and that is your life purpose. And thank goodness they do what they do, like write a book like this. And, we're very fortunate, so we highly recommend his book. Please, if you know of anybody who's in a medical condition that you can see that they're struggling, this is a power guide. This is going to really help them become self-empowered, or perhaps it's yourself. And, it is just way worth it to include it in your day and learn from it and practice. See, it's the practices that we're always sharing here. You do have to put them into action, and the more you do it, it'll strengthen like a muscle, and it will replace, it'll take the place of the emotional pain or the physical pain or whatever it is that you're going through. So, and it works. So, definitely get this book. And you'll find out more about, you can always find out about any of our guests and their books on CoachCafeRadio.com. So be sure to visit there. So how about some of our announcements, Estra?
Okay, yes. Well, Kathleen, why don't you tell people where they can find you?
Okay. You can find me on my website at KathleenMartinCoaching.com. It's simply my name, with a K, Kathleen Martin Coaching. And when you visit my site, you can sign up for my quick coaching 5-part audio series, where for 5 days you'll receive a short audio that you listen to and then put that into practice. It's a proven coaching technique that I know will help you to become more self-empowered and to live your best life. So just simply leave your name and email, and I will keep in touch with you with information that I know will help you, and you'll receive my audios, as well as my coaching tool, which is my coaching wheel, where you download it. It's there right there now, and you can download it right now, print it out, and see which areas of your life are needing to have that boost, where you're going to inflate it and feel like you're really moving through life on a, with more of that stability. And you rate it. You give yourself a 1 to 10, and you'll be able to see which areas do I really need to pay attention to and get the help that you need, and that's what we're here for. And then as well, you can also check out, now I'm paying a lot of attention to parenting. I'm really leaning in the direction of parenting coaching included in my coaching, because I feel like parents really definitely need help, and none of us got that education. And there is I've created Empowered Parenting Coaching, and you can click right on the link there to be led to a wonderful program by one of our guests, Shelley Lefko, called Parenting the Lefko Way, and find out all about that program, because every parent needs help. So those are just some of the offerings I have on my website. So how about yourself, Esther? I'll let everybody know how they can reach out to you.
Okay. I'm America's Life Purpose Coach, and that's my website, www.americaslifepurposecoach. And I have a free report that you can get, which is full of exercises to help you create your vision for what it is that you really want in your life, to get clear on what's meaningful to you. And Tuesday Success Tips, which are just short tips that you can sign up for that will come into your inbox every Tuesday morning to inspire you. And when you sign up for those, you also get signed up for my monthly newsletter, which comes out mid-month. I know we get a lot of things at the beginning of the month, so I publish my newsletter in the middle of the month. And that's also full of great articles and process of the month and so on to help you to live your best life. And then I offer a free discovery session, so you can dip your toe in the water and see if coaching is something that would be beneficial to you at this time. So all of that's on my website. And then we also suggest that you go to our magnetizedtomanifest.com website, where you can see what is included in our self-study product, which is Magnetized to Manifest, 7 Steps to Living Your Ideal Life. There are 7 modules that take you through those 7 steps in a PDF with exercises to practice with each step. And there are also audios and videos included with this. So you will have audios to download of processes and meditations to help you, magnetizing meditations to actually help you become magnetic to what you want, and videos to help you release limiting beliefs that may be holding you back and sabotaging your efforts. So, and with all of that, you also get several wonderful bonuses from colleagues of ours who have kindly offered their free bonuses when you purchase the product for only $67. So if you're not quite ready for coaching, but you'd like some help, it's not in your budget for coaching, then this is the product that we made for you so that you can get some, you know, the help that you need. And next week, before I do that, we want to give a shout out to Live LOA Radio on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock. Your Law of Attraction questions will get answered there, and that is hosted by our colleagues Linda Armstrong and Nada Hayworth, fellow graduates from the Quantum Success Coaching Academy with us, so do check them out as well. And then next week, Friday, I'm still not used to it. Friday, we are welcoming Peg Conley as our guest into the Coach Cafe, the author of Imagine the Life You'd Love to Live, Then Live It, 52 Inspired Habits and Playful Prompts. And this is a delightful book that she's written. It is, a prompt or a habit to practice 52, so you've got a new one every week of the year. And these are delightful suggestions and practices to get you to play with doing things a little differently, making some different choices and habits in your life to create a different result. Because we all know that if we keep doing the same things and we never make different choices, then our lives will stay the same. So we don't want that necessarily. We'd like to grow and expand, and so she is going to help us with that. And so do tune in for that. She's practiced this in her own life. So she is walking her talk and has created, gone from corporate America to creating her own business, which is, more in alignment with what she truly values.
Yeah, we love those stories of people who really stepped out of the box. You know, they were listening and, really answered what was going on and ended up, writing a wonderful book. And that's the running theme with all of our guests, and you probably notice it in your own life, that there's some kind of contrast that's going on. You're not happy. You're not thriving. You just feel like there's something else there for you, and you listen. And, boy, it can take off in ways that you cannot even imagine, and your life becomes what it's meant to be, which is, where you feel happier, more in control, more self-empowered, and you feel like you are living a really wonderful life. So that's what we share here. And we also want to definitely thank again Teresa Massano, who has offered us her beautiful song that you're hearing as we as we start the show and end the show, it's called Limitless World of Life, and she's just so graciously allowed us to use this beautiful song. If you listen to the words, it's really quite wonderful. And you can find out more about Teresa at teresamassanomusic.net, or you can find out about everything you hear that we talk about on coachcaferadio.com. So I think that's it, Estra.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll see everyone on Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And until then, everybody have a wonderful, inspired, and healthy week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Estra.
Thanks, Kathleen.